Are vegans actually unhealthy?
Does cannabis ruin your sleep?
And why are so many men taking testosterone supplements? I'm Mitch.
And I'm Greg.
And we're the creators of the popular YouTube channel ASAP Science.
Every week on our podcast Side Note by ASAP Science, we explain the science behind a controversial subject with recent research, up-to-date studies, and ridiculous stories so you are entertained while, bam, simultaneously learning.
We're here to make science make sense.
Download Side Note by ASAP Science wherever you get your podcasts.
All of those facts you have heard about Canada's federal carbon tax are probably true, no matter which side they came from. All of the rhetoric before and after those facts, no matter which side it came from, is probably not. So you don't actually need to make up numbers to make an argument on this one. You just need to pick a side and start selectively deploying those figures to claim whatever you want. Part of the problem is that we've been talking about the carbon tax, or sorry, carbon pricing, for years now, and it is such a complex system and such a hot-button issue that we don't spend a lot of time trying to understand what it will mean for us on the ground. And that means that we don't understand how we're being played. When this...
Our gas prices have just shot up at least 4.4 cents a liter.
...is just as true as this.
8 in 10... Ontario families will get back more than they pay directly.
That means that technically, nobody's lying, but neither is anyone answering real questions. What does this actually mean for me and for my wallet? What does it mean for Canada's environment or for Canada's economy? And what does it mean for the world's fight against climate change? And if we don't know because we don't have those numbers, then say that. I'm Jordan Heath-Rawlings, and this is The Big Story. Cormac McSweeney is the Parliament Hill reporter for City News, for Rogers Radio, and every couple of weeks for us. Cormac, what happened yesterday with regards to carbon pricing in Canada?
Well, the carbon tax was put in place on four provinces that didn't have their own system. So when the government announced that they wanted to put in place a carbon pricing system across the country, they gave provinces the option to create their own system that would meet a certain level of criteria, basically to place a price of $20 per ton of greenhouse gas emissions. And if the provinces didn't do that, well, then the federal government would take action and impose a carbon tax on those provinces. So, you know, you may be wondering, well, what else is there? There's also cap and trade systems that provinces could take part in. And if they wanted to, they could have come up with their own sort of carbon pricing schemes to try and make sure that they met that same federal criteria. Some provinces already had those systems in place, and others did not, and some backtracked on it. So in the end, what we have is Ontario, Manitoba, Saskatchewan, and New Brunswick as the provinces that don't have a system in place that meets those federal requirements. And so they're now paying this carbon price, this carbon tax of $20 per ton of emissions. And that will rise annually, according to the federal plan, by $10 per ton until it reaches about $50 a ton in April of 2022.
I hear about the top level of this from people who cover politics and from people who are writing stories about what happens when it comes into effect. And then from politicians, all I hear is that I have to fill up now. In fact, people in Ontario, where we're podcasting from, had an entire political party taking selfies of themselves at the pumps because come Monday, everything was supposed to change, right?
Yeah. And you know what? This is, I will point out, this is an election year. And so the campaigning around wedge issues such as the carbon tax, and we mean wedge issues as issues that divide Canadians, divide voters, places a wedge in between them. And the carbon tax from both the Liberal and the Conservative side of this debate seems to be one issue that they are both willing to fight on. And so you're going to see this social media frenzy to try and get people onto their side. The federal government thinks this is necessary to move forward on protecting the environment, to put a price on pollution, to try and wean Canadians from the fossil fuels that are doing damage to the environment, and try and get them on more renewable energy sources. The Conservatives, on the other hand, are saying that this is just simply a tax grab, an effort from the government to try and steal your money and try and put it into their pockets and not help you out, the little guy. And so those are the competing narratives that we have right now in this election year. And it's probably going to ramp up even more in the weeks and months ahead. But this is a big rallying point for both sides on this. You saw the conservatives, posting their selfies of them filling up their gas, saying you need to do it before the gas goes up 4 cents a liter. You got to get out there and do this. And they're out on the first day of the carbon tax campaigning against it. The liberals on the other side, they were again stressing the need to do this, to move forward, to help the environment and to try and make the change that is necessary, that many international studies have said is needed in order to try and, you know, make some changes to better protect the environment. And they were doing so with some A-list celebrity help as well. The Trudeau government actually had the Terminator himself, Arnold Schwarzenegger, did a video for the government.
I'm so happy that Canada is putting a price on pollution, because we have done this here in California around 13 years ago, and it has been highly successful.
Environment Minister Catherine McKenna tweeted the video, and he congratulated Canada on moving forward with a carbon price, pointing out that California did so 13 years ago when he was governor of that state. And one thing that I find very interesting was Arnold Schwarzenegger really took aim at the critics in all of this, probably knowing that the Trudeau government is up against a lot of criticism from the provincial and the federal level. He said that, look, we heard the same arguments that
the economy is going to come to an end, people are going to lose their jobs and all of this stuff. Of course, none of it came true.
He argues that it never happened in California. He's like, look, we are the fifth largest economy in the world as a state, and our economy is tops in the U.S. We never saw all the warnings that were given from opponents in the lead up to that. It never came to fruition. So that's his argument. And one could also argue that California is not Canada and we are different jurisdictions. So what works there doesn't always work where we are. We are a very fossil fuel heavy economy as well, with the oil patch and everything. So it's a little bit different there. But at the same time, you know, hey, they've got a lot of cars. Anyone who's driven through LA knows that it's a jam-packed place, and the increase on prices in gas could have a big impact there as well. So anyway, those are the two sides, but I think it's just going to ramp up more and more as we get closer to that voting day.
It is amazingly fitting that the Liberals are trying to play this with celebrity while the Conservatives are trying to play this as a hitting ordinary Canadians in the pocketbook. And I frankly find both of them disingenuous. So we wanted to have you on to try to cut through some of the next 6 months of noise. So first of all, you mentioned gas prices going up. What else is going up? What does the carbon tax in these four provinces, I should say carbon pricing, so I'm not playing either side either, but what does it look like on the ground in these four provinces?
The biggest place where Canadians will probably notice it is at the gas pump. You know, the price of gas is going up about 4.4 cents a liter. There are some who say that it could go up a little bit more depending on where you live, but on average, that's what you were expecting. You'll also notice it on home heating costs, of course, especially if you use oil to heat your home. A lot of people also use natural gas. Those are going to get hit. And as well on diesel, you're gonna notice it, because the argument is that it's not just on those fuels that you're going to feel this. Large emitters as well on the industrial side will have to pay up. But the trickle down is what the argument is, where you'll really feel the pinch, is that it's not just about that, because all the goods you buy will have to be transported. And then when the cost of that transportation then goes up, because a lot of that is still done by tractor trailers that are on the highways every day, or aviation fuel as well is going up in price. So if you're FedExing stuff, that could go up, but you'll notice it on the store shelves. It may not be significant. It might be minor for some goods, a little bit more for other goods, but the prices are going up. And the Conservatives have said this is a tax on everything. The Liberals argue that it's not a tax on everything. Not everything is going to go up in price across the country as a result of this. But also the argument is that it's going to change behaviors. And so you'll see these prices rise, and as a result, you'll make choices whether or not you want to continue with products that could be damaging to the environment, or make a smarter choice, if you will, to try and sort of save yourself some money, but also help the environment while you're doing it. I think one thing that's interesting is not everything will be as transparent about what you're paying more for and when you're paying more for it.
Give me an example.
So, like, let's say your home heating costs. It's not like it's going to appear on your bill as like a line item as your GST or your HST or whatever it might be. I mean, the carbon tax is going to be charged more to the industry and distributors. So you may not see it actually reflected in the price as a line item because of the fact that the tax is being charged to industry and distributors. Those costs will be passed on to consumer, but it's not like it's going to show right up there on your bill saying carbon tax.
In 2007, TV network CBS dropped 40 kids in the middle of the New Mexico desert as part of a brand new reality show. These kids would have to build their own society from scratch. And if this sounds like Lord of the Flies to you, well, it was meant to.
We were on this mission together. We were going to prove to the world that we could make a better society than adults could.
I'm Josh Gwynn, and I want to know what this wild TV experiment was really about. Split Screen, Kid Nation, a six-part podcast from CBC. Available now.
So when the conservatives were all over my Twitter feed on the weekend saying today is the last day to fill up, you better fill up because gas is getting more expensive. That is a truth.
Yes. I think the estimate was about 4.4 cents per liter that the price of gas would go up. And a lot of people who track gas prices in Canada said, yeah, we did see a jump. I will point out as well that just my own observations, my personal observations, is we've seen some wild swings in the price of gas as of late in the lead up to the carbon price. And it's not always the carbon price that is a reason for it, but it is generally accepted. You go to BC. When I lived in Alberta, you knew the price of gas was cheaper there than it was in BC. So you wanted to make sure that you filled up before you crossed the border into BC so that you saved a little bit of money because BC had its carbon pricing plan in effect and its carbon tax. So we did see a rise in price. The Liberals admit that the price of fuel is going to go up under this. They're not lying about that. They're not saying, no, you won't be impacted.
Right.
What their argument is that they're going to offset that cost. They know it's going up, but they wanted to give a break to the Canadians who have to pay it. So if you live only in the jurisdictions where the federal carbon tax is being applied, you could get a rebate, or you will get a rebate at income tax time to offset those costs.
Which brings me to my next question, because this is another line that I've been seeing a lot, is that the financial accountability officer, this is only in Ontario, but I'm assuming that parties on both sides across Canada are doing this, but the financial accountability officer confirms the carbon tax will cost the average family $648 a year by 2022. Is that true?
Every province is different in terms of how much it's going to cost individual families. And
right.
I believe the federal government did have some estimates. And of course, until this all sort of rolls out, it's not clear how much it will exactly cost each family in Canada. Because again, the whole point of this is to incentivize you to move away from fossil fuels and pollution.
Okay.
So if you do make those choices to change your habits and your lifestyle, then you will be paying far less than the other family. So it's hard to see how this works out. But if things stay the way they are and the estimates are the way they are, I think in Ontario, it is about $560 by 2022 that it could cost the average household. But again, the federal government has said that they're giving rebates. What they wanted to do was to make sure that you are not going to get dinged overall for the year. So in 2019, the estimate is that, let's just use Ontario as an example, the average Ontario household is going to pay, I think it's somewhere around $240, maybe a little bit more than that, over this carbon tax. And that was the estimate. But the rebate that they're getting back, because a lot of that is being paid by the companies and then passed on to the consumer, but the rebate that those households are getting back, the federal government says, will be about, on average, around $300 per household. So in the end, the argument from the federal government is you're going to get more money back because you will only see a certain amount of this reflected in your activities, your day-to-day life. And then in the end, you're going to get some money back because it's the companies that will be paying a bulk of this and you'll benefit off of that. And if you make smarter choices, then you'll get even more money back because you'll be spending less on what they assume the average cost per household is. So that's the argument from the liberal side. But of course, the conservatives say, no, 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 this is just going to go up and up and up. And it's going to cost companies. And the trickle down effect is going to be much worse than what the government is saying. It's a lot of noise out there. I can understand if voters are kind of confused by all of this. And there will be a lot of numbers being thrown around. And, you know, the one thing they tell you in media is to not throw around too many numbers in short media pieces, because it can get very confusing very fast for your listeners or your viewers. And I fully expect a lot of Canadians to be confused by the numbers that get thrown at them, because some of them, yes, they are true, but at the same time, you kind of have to take that into the overall context of what's happening here, and then decide for yourself about whether that's good or that's bad, whether you like the carbon pricing system or whether you think this is going to just hurt your average Canadian. I will say that the technical officials at a briefing for the government did say that they believe that 70% of the Canadians who are facing the federal carbon tax will get more money back because of the income tax rebate than they'll actually spend throughout the year, in addition to what they've already been spending due to the carbon tax. And the belief is that 30% are actually going to be more wealthy Canadians because they have larger houses. They tend to spend more on home heating as a result of that. They drive more expensive vehicles, larger vehicles, and will therefore have to fill up the tank a little bit more. So that's the other argument, is that the people who are going to get dinged the most are the richest of the Canadians, not, your average Canadian mom and dad with a kid or two trying to get by. I think it was at the Paris Climate Accord when this sort of this whole pricing plan was really sparked and solidified by the Trudeau government. Even then, they were discussing international studies that said you need a carbon pricing system that has $200 a ton for greenhouse gas emissions if you want to meet the Paris climate. Yeah, and that's a huge difference. By 2022, the government's saying $50 a ton. The studies are saying we need to get up to $200 a ton, and we need to do it fast. It's not like, yeah, we can gradually get to that point over decades. They say you need to get to that point within the next decade or so. So it's a step in the right direction, I think some people would say. I've talked to Elizabeth May, the leader of the Green Party, about this, and I think this is her overall assessment of it, that it's a step in the right direction. It's a good move, but it's not nearly close to where we need to be to actually change people's behaviors and to save the environment and reduce greenhouse gas emissions to the point where people have said they need to be, especially with the Paris Climate Accord.
What options do those four conservative governments have? Can they come up with their own plan still and implement it, or are they now just under the federal plan and that's how it works?
If there's a change of government, if there's a change of mind of the current government, then yeah, if they decide to create their own system and follow through with it, I think the federal government has indicated that it would be open to allowing the provincial governments to take it over themselves. This was always framed as a last resort option from the feds, because they wanted the provinces to do it themselves. And they said from the start that they wanted the provinces to make the choice so that the money earned always stayed in the provinces. And that's sort of what their rebate system is about, because they're imposing the tax. They're saying we still want to live up to the nature of making sure that that money still stays in the province. So if we do see, let's say, possibly a change of government, or, I doubt we'll see a change of mind from the governments that are currently in place. But Alberta could be one interesting opposite reaction to that, where we could see a conservative government take over after Rachel Notley's NDP government. We're still waiting to see what happens in that election campaign, so I don't want to make any predictions. But if it does happen, they might opt out, and then a federal carbon tax, because they have a current valid system under the federal rules. If they opt out, then the federal carbon tax would apply to Alberta. But the same goes if they decide that they want to take it over themselves. So those are some options. One other big option that those provinces have, which we're currently seeing underway, are legal options. And we do know that there's a legal challenge before the courts. Ontario and Saskatchewan are taking those legal avenues to try and block the federal carbon tax from being applied to their provinces. There is some debate from experts about whether they even have a shot at all with winning these legal cases, because many experts believe that the federal government reigns supreme on this. They have the ability to tax provinces the way they see fit. But I think for the provincial governments that are looking to stand on a political point, whether or not they win, they will deem it necessary to not let Ottawa just get away with something that they don't believe in. And so it becomes not just a legal avenue, but a political avenue as well. And it's all coming down. And the arguments, I believe, are happening at some point this month in an Ontario court. So a lot of this is happening with months to go before the election. So I think we'll see other creative or interesting ways in which these provinces will try and fight back, because I don't think the legal avenue will be the end of it.
Why does it feel, and this might be somewhat of an existential question, but why does it feel on this file in particular that everybody is saying true things, but nobody is telling the truth?
That's politics. it's a feeling we get about a lot of controversial issues. You see politicians, and it doesn't matter what side they're on, a lot of politicians will end up taking facts and making sure that it fits their arguments. And those facts may be correct, but that doesn't necessarily mean that the argument being put forward is a correct one. A lot of that is subjective. It really is up to the voter as to what they see as the right thing to do here. Yeah, there will be a cost to families. I think the opponents to the carbon tax are not incorrect with that. The government says, look, we're giving you rebates and you're getting more money back, so it's not going to be that bad. At the same time, you're going to feel it. And especially for those who may drive for a living or own their own businesses, where they feel like, they might feel a little bit of a ding. And there will be a rebate for businesses as well. It's not just your average citizen in those provinces. But we're heading up to an election. It's a divisive issue. It's one that I think both sides of this debate could possibly benefit by standing their ground. And so we're going to see a lot of political posturing, a lot of political spin, where people do take those facts and spin it to make their arguments make more sense to Canadians. And I encourage Canadians, if you want to know the truth about what's going on and whether or not this is something you agree with, you kind of have to do a lot of your own research. Us in the media, we do the best we can to get the information out there to Canadians. But the best way to learn about it is to do your own digging and find out, look at the multiple studies that have been done on the impacts of carbon pricing plans. Look at the effects that we've seen in jurisdictions that have already put this in place. And that's the way you'll find out likely whether you think this is the best move for the country or the worst move for the country. And I will note that Conservative leader Andrew Scheer says his first order of business will be to scrap the carbon tax. So if the carbon tax is something you love and you think is the right move, well, then your vote in the fall will likely reflect on that. And if you think it's the worst thing in the world, Andrew Scheer seems to be the big voice standing up against this on the federal level. So I think you know what your option is there if you don't like the carbon tax.
And then 6 months after all that, we'll do our taxes in 2020 and figure out whether or not it actually did cost us money,
or whether or not we'll get a rebate back as a result.
Thanks, Cormac.
Anytime.
Cormac McSweeney, Parliament Hill reporter for City News, for Rogers Radio, and for Frequency Podcast Network. That was The Big Story. For more from us, including lots on the carbon tax, something tells me we'll be talking about it a lot, you can find us at thebigstorypodcast.ca or at frequencypodcastnetwork.com. You can also find us on social media at TheBigStoryFPN on Twitter and at FrequencyPods on your social media platform of choice, not including Snapchat. And of course, we would love a rating or a review wherever you get podcasts. We're on them all, mostly Apple, Google, Stitcher, Spotify, but wherever you want to find us is fine with me. I'm Jordan Heath Rawlings. Thanks for listening. We'll talk tomorrow.
In 2007, TV network CBS dropped 40 kids in the middle of the New Mexico desert as part of a brand new reality show. These kids would have to build their own society from scratch. And if this sounds like Lord of the Flies to you, well, it was meant to.
We were on this mission together. We were going to prove to the world that we could make a better society than adults could.
I'm Josh Gwynn,
And I want to know what this wild TV experiment was really about. Split Screen, Kid Nation, a 6-part podcast from CBC. Available now.